Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Well, guys, I don't think they should have gotten rid of Lawyer Malloy so close to the beginning of the season.
Still in the preseason? Can we go with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
A little more, getting ready for the prep work?
Listen, the Patriots were hot on Sunday, but it wasn't the good kind of hot. They fizzled out big time in that second half, and, there's a lot to it. I think the weather was somewhat of a factor, but there's some other things that the Patriots need to correct before Minnesota.
I agree there's a lot to it, but in some ways I think it's simple. They got pushed around. I think both fronts, the offensive line, which we talked about, who's going to play, what's the rotation going to be, I thought got pushed around, and particularly the tackles. You know, people forget that those are your tackles. There's not really a lot of question. It's Vollmer and Solder. I thought Vollmer really struggled with Cameron Wake. And then on the other side of the football, the defensive line, which we talked about, who's going to play, they really got pushed around. And another No'Shawn Moreno big day on the ground.
Well, let's start with the defense, because I think, to me anyway, that's the area giving up all those yards on the ground is the thing that I'm most worried about. You talk about defensive line. What is the defensive line right now? What are they playing? 4-3, 3-4, what kind of technique? Who's your starter? I don't know the answer to any of those, honestly.
Well, it's something that we talked about last week. Andy and I had a lot of concerns. Going into the year, I couldn't remember a time when there were so many starting jobs that we didn't really know for sure who they were going to be. And we saw that a little bit, I think, on Sunday. They're still searching. Andy talked a little bit about the rotation. I thought you saw a lot of that. That makes sense in the season opener, and it makes sense especially when you're in Miami, but they looked unsettled. And listen, I agree with you, Fred. The thing that was most alarming to me was allowing almost 200 yards on the ground. I didn't see that coming. Miami's not a team that's known for running the football. No'Shawn Moreno evidently is Adrian Peterson against the Patriots, but no one else. And, oh, by the way, they got to get ready to face the real Adrian Peterson next week.
Right, and we joked about Lawyer Malloy, but there were two players that the Patriots did get rid of that may have been a help in this game. Logan Mankins is one, but don't forget about Tommy Kelly on the defensive line, especially against the run. You got to think that he would have helped this team in that game.
Yeah, if you told me I could take one of those two guys that's no longer here and just for this game have him, I would have taken Tommy Kelly, because they had a 3-4 front that I have two guys that I don't like starting at end in a 3-4 with Joe Villano on the left side, Chandler Jones on the right side. I would love to plug Tommy Kelly into one of those spots. He's sort of that prototypical 6'5", 6'6", 300-plus, and maybe you don't give up almost 200 yards on the ground. So, yeah, those are, the emotional may have been the Mankins factor, but in the physical here and now, Tommy Kelly could have helped that defense.
Yeah, they missed them both. Yes, it was emotional that they missed Mankins, but they missed his physicality too. And I think when you're searching and when you're sort of under siege, I think a guy like that to sort of get the troops in line was missed.
Punch somebody in the nuts.
And I wonder, the nastiness, and I wonder who that guy is now. Dan Conley is the captain. They named him one of the captains. I like Dan a lot, but I'm not sure that's his personality. I think Logan had that quiet but yet stern viewpoint that I think he could convey to his fellow linemen.
But would having Mankins have helped Vollmer and Solder on the ends? Because
maybe.
I saw a lot of guys with just speed beating.
So I'm not just putting it on the guys inside. I thought Marcus Cannon struggled inside too. I thought Audric had a lot of pressure. I thought a lot of the inside pressure led to some of the outside pressure. But you're right. The tackles were the guys that we thought were going to be fine. To use your term, they'll be fine. They weren't fine. But it was one game. They weren't fine on Sunday. I'm not going to get overly concerned about it unless we see it continuing and becomes a trend. And then you got to figure out. Because I don't think it was necessarily anything they did that was schematic or, blown assignments, miscommunication. I think they just got beat. Andy put it right. They got pushed around.
All right. Going into the game, Tom Brady missed a day of practice, came back the next day. We learned that he had a calf issue. He said he was okay, good to go. Was he?
No.
Was that a factor?
I have to think it is. I have enough faith in his abilities that he doesn't look as bad as he looked unless there is something causing that. And I think the calf, based on our observations, we still don't know officially which calf it is. Observing sort of how he was taped and what his legs looked like, it looked like it was probably a left calf injury. So I don't know if that's A, affecting his mobility. He's not the most mobile guy, but maybe he would have moved a little bit better in the face of that pressure. And then he was very inaccurate. He missed a lot of throws down the field where maybe that's affecting how his follow-through, and maybe he's releasing high, and that's why balls are sailing on him. I can't know that he missed Thursday practice, and he's questionable for the first time in years, and then just say, well, he played terribly, but the injury had nothing to do it. Maybe it's an excuse, maybe it's not. I think it was a factor.
Now, that's the physical part of Brady, but I'm going to wonder a little bit about the mental part, too, and not just with the injury, but Julian Edelman has clearly established himself as the number one receiver, and in the first half, he looked every bit like the guy that we've been seeing all summer long. He's been terrific in training camp. He was terrific in the first half with 6 catches, 7 targets. They threw the ball to him once in the second half. That's at least partly on Brady. I know a lot of people are going to attack Josh McDaniels for that, but the quarterback ultimately can decide where he's going to throw the ball. I thought that we got a little bit forcing the ball to Gronkowski a little bit. He clearly wasn't quite himself yet, to be expected, knocking the rust off. I was surprised that Julian Edelman gets 1 target in the last half of that game.
And he's open,
being,
by the way.
Yeah, but after being such a big part of the first
half. But if you're at Miami and you go in at halftime, you say, this one guy just got 90 yards on us in the first half. We got to take him out. I'm not surprised that the Patriots may not have been able to go to him. But what I'm more surprised is where's Danny Amendola? Where's Brandon LaFell? Where are the other targets that Brady needs to go to when a team decides that we're not going to let Julian Edelman beat us anymore? And that's what I'm worried about.
They're just not there yet.
Listen, they're going to Minnesota. I hear it's going to snow next Sunday. We're all set.
So they won't wilt.
We never lose in the snow. The Patriots had a lot of trouble stopping the run on Sunday, but I think at least part of that was self-inflicted. I think there are 3 different ways they can use Chandler Jones. As a 4-3 defensive end, a 3-4 outside linebacker, or a 3-4 defensive end. And that's what Belichick decided to do on Sunday. And I think that's the thing that he is least suited to do. I don't think he's big enough, and I think he's too athletic for that spot. You want him getting after the passer and setting the edge on the outside, but I think he gets swallowed up as a 3-4 end. Think Richard Seymour. Think Ty Warren. Big 6'6", 300-pound guys. That's not Chandler Jones. And the Patriots, I think, need to get into a more conventional 4-3 look and get Jones back on the end. It's a different season, but I think we see some of the signs that hurt this offense last year in the opener against Miami. I think the Patriots are still looking for another threat on the outside, and to me, that guy has to be Aaron Dobson. He was inactive in the first game. He's coming off off-season foot surgery, and I think that's the reason he was probably on the sideline, even though he wasn't on the injury report. Didn't play a lot in the preseason. They need a bigger presence outside the numbers. It can't be all Julian Edelman. It can't be forcing the ball to Rob Gronkowski. I think Tom Brady has to rely too much on those guys, and he's searching. He needs another guy. I think Dobson is the most athletic of those guys, and I think he has the most potential to be a threat on the outside. They need him back, and they need him to contribute. My final point is going to look at special teams because lately they haven't been all that special. I think Scott O'Brien has to get these guys in gear because as of late, they haven't really been giving them anything in the return game. They haven't been great on kickoff coverage. And now on Sunday, you get a punt block. Obviously, the long snapping situation has been a concern. They cut Danny Aiken. They brought him back just before the start of the season. His first snap is low. Ryan Allen can't handle it. Right now, I think they need to get some better production out of this group. I think kick returns is another area. Patrick Chung, not sure that's the best, most dynamic return man you can come up with. I'm not sure all the answers right now, but the special teams are not providing any help for a struggling team.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Is there anything you can't do physically, athletically?
I can do a lot of things. I don't know what I can't do. I really don't know what I can't do.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week from a hot Miami game. I don't know if Tom Brady was hot at Rob Gronkowski here, but it's just good to see both of them on the field. I love the aggressiveness of Chandler Jones, but you gotta keep those hands away from the head. Finally, you know you're having a tough day when even the ref feels sorry for you.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
We have Patriots linebacker Jamie Collins with us this week. And just before we started, Jamie just told me something that I found a little bit interesting. Jamie doesn't watch football. Is that true?
No, it's not true. I watch football.
Well, just the Patriots football, that is. Yeah. So you weren't a big Patriots football fan, necessarily?
No.
You're just a football player?
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the stuff defensively that you guys are doing. Last year, in your rookie year, you were more or less, I think, on the strong side in a 4-3. This year, You've been next to Gerard Mayo. What kind of differences does that entail for you?
It's a little different, but I mean, it's nothing I can't handle. You know, I like the challenge, you know, and I'm up for it.
Now, in terms of any different responsibilities and the communication, is it any different being next to Gerard? I assume that he is doing a lot of the communication stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I make some communication, but when like you got a guy like Gerard Mayo out there, I mean, he knows everything. You know, he's been in the system, so I let him control it and I just play off of him.
Talk to me a little bit about playing quarterback in high school. What kind of quarterback were you in Mississippi?
Oh, I was a running gun type of guy. You know, I could do a little bit of both. I could run and throw.
Okay, obviously we're turning the page, moving on to Minnesota. What are some of the things, some of the challenges, obviously, going against one of the best in the business, Adrian Peterson?
Man, we just got to tackle. You know, he's a hard runner, you know, and I like him, you know, because, you know, it's a challenge. It's a hard challenge, you know, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of looking forward to this game.
Okay, you welcome that. Even though it was a little rocky in the opener, it's fine. You're going against Peterson. It's just another challenge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're going to have bumps on the road. You know, you got to go over and just play for the next, you know. Can't just give up on the first one. Keep going.
Is there one thing, you know, in particular that you have to make sure that, you know, you don't allow him to cut back lane or something when you go against him specifically that you have to make sure?
We just got to tackle him. You know, that's the main thing. Just get him down on the ground, you know.
It's as simple as that. You got to tackle better and everything gets better.
That's it.
Another week, another set of matchups. And after we saw the Patriots struggle on the defensive front against Knowshon Moreno, well, the test this week is just Adrian Peterson, you know, the guy who ran for 2,000 yards a couple years ago. Last year had a down season when he had 4.5 yards per carry and 10 touchdowns. It doesn't get any easier. Patriots need to tighten up their run fits, better tackling from Gerard Mayo and company, because Adrian Peterson won't let up. Patriots defense, if you take care of Peterson, then you have to worry about Patterson. Second-year wide receiver Cordarrelle Patterson, 45 catches as a rookie, but has proven himself a dynamic playmaker as a returner and a runner. 100 yards rushing in week one in the win over the Rams. He's quick off the ball. He can get down the field. That means another week where Darrell Revis, as New England's number one corner, faces a young, athletic playmaker. Left a little something to be desired in his matchup with Mike Wallace. Patterson's the next challenge. While the Patriots are cleaning things up on both sides of the ball, it's about protection on the offensive line. Jared Allen no longer in Minnesota, but Everson Griffin takes over that right defensive end spot. Got a new $40 million contract in the offseason, and he made it pay off, at least in week one. 2 sacks against the Rams. He is the focal point of that pass rush. Challenge for Nate Solder, and the Patriots front needs to do a better job in week two than they did in week one.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Feel good about Brady and Nate Solder and Sebastian Vollmer, but you feel good about Joe Villano and Tavon Wilson?
You're not smart enough to do that.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
The league has made calling hands to the face an emphasis this season. They're doing a good job at it, judging by the number of flags we've seen. But even if you agree refs should be making these calls, you're only getting them half right. The half they're missing are the stiff arm running backs and wide receivers throw. I've come around to Andy Hart's thinking that if you're going to call it for some players and positions, you should call it for all. Let's not outlaw the stiff arm per se, but when a back has a hand in a defender's face mask for an extended period of time, throw the flag. I've seen guys actually grab the face mask, and just because they're carrying the ball, there's no penalty. Let's even the playing field and make the rule fair for all. Or do we have to wait for Peyton Manning to become a defender?
The NFL and the NFLPA have been going at it for a long time about drug testing. Performance-enhancing drugs, recreational drugs, HGH testing. One thing I don't like about this whole thing is the idea that the people that are already on suspension could possibly get a free pass. Josh Gordon, Wes Welker, as much as I like Welker, he doesn't deserve a free pass. He shouldn't get a free pass. He broke the rules as they existed. This whole thing about being grandfathered in or whatever the case may be, what about all the other guys who have been suspended over the years? I don't like the idea of giving these guys a free pass, and I don't think that's something the NFL or the NFLPA should want to get a part of. Right now, if you broke the rules as they existed, you're out.
I know we spend a lot of time criticizing the officials in these Around the NFL segments. Usually that's Paul Perillo, not my area. So I'm going to praise the officials this week. Antonio Brown, long punt return against the Browns for the Steelers. And what does he do? He's going to hurdle the punter. Only unfortunately, somewhere in midair, he realized, uh-oh, I'm not going to make it. So he extended his foot. You know, you have the stiff arm for running backs. You have the stiff foot for punt returners. And he kicked the punter in the face. And he got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. It was unnecessary roughness. It's what I've asked for years. You don't need all these specific rules in the rule book. If the officials see unnecessary roughness, if they see a penalty, just let them call it. They did that. It's not that hard. It doesn't need to be black and white. Sometimes it can be gray.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
Not a lot went right for the Patriots in Miami on Sunday, but what concerned you more long-term, the offense or the defense?
Since last week, I argued that the defense was going to carry this team, and well, they didn't on Sunday. I'm worried. You know, I think they have great potential. I think they have the potential to be a very good unit. The trouble is the execution for 1 week was horrific, and I'm not sure exactly how they fix it.
Yeah, this is one of those games that's great for us. You know, the know-it-all analysts. I have just as many concerns about the offense, if not more. And the reason is because I'm not sure there are any more options for Tom Brady than he had, really, for the bulk of last year. I think Rob Gronkowski's still working his way back. We don't know when exactly he's going to be back, if at all. Maybe he's never quite the Gronk that we've become, you know, accustomed to watching. It still looks like it's just Julian Edelman, and obviously the offensive line is a mess. So I'm really concerned moving forward about that side of the ball, too.
I am. You should be. But last year they were the third highest scoring team in the National Football League with limited weapons around Brady. I think as soon as Brady feels good, and I think his calf was an issue, you'll be fine.
I'm not sure that those guys up front, and what really concerned me was Bill Belichick talking to me about how it was not necessarily communication. It wasn't anything to do with the scheme. It was technique and fundamentals. Well, that means that their guy beat our guy. And I'm not sure that can magically get fixed. And if that's happening consistently, that calf isn't going to get any better for Tom Brady if he's forced to move around. And long term, I think that you're probably right. They're going to be able to find a way to score some points. But I don't think this offense is going to be what it needs to be in order for Brady to be back at the top of the game.
I think on defense, the potential is there from some stars, but when you're getting pushed around on defense, there's no way to scheme out of it. And one guy I'm really worried about is Vince Wilfork. You know, I had him penciled in for a huge bounce-back year. It didn't get off to a great start in Miami. No Sean Marino ran down their throats yet again. Wilfork had a chance to actually make a tackle, a big play late. The captain of your defense, the middleman, he couldn't do it. They put the game away. That defense right now is all question marks and no answers.
Yeah, I feel a little bit better about some of the question marks that you have on defense.
You don't feel good about Brady and Nate Solder and Sebastian Vollmer, but you feel good about Joe Villano and Tavon Wilson?
You're not smart enough
to
do that.
What games are you watching?
Don't steal lines from other people. You really shouldn't. At least once a year. You're not anywhere near smart enough to do this.
You shouldn't steal lines from other people, especially people like that.
I don't necessarily have questions about the tackles. They didn't play very well on Sunday. But I do have questions about Tom Brady's health. I don't know if that's just going to magically fix. And I don't have questions about Vince Wilfork or Darrell Revis, two guys you brought up. I have questions about the Patriots' offensive
line
being able to
protect a 30-year-old defensive lineman coming off an Achilles.
Not questioning Tom Brady.
Very interesting.
Questioning Tom Brady's
health. I like how you pick and choose where you care about injuries and age and track record and when you don't.
Questions about the health, not about the player.
You're fibbing.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Time now for your fantasy football pro tip, brought to you by DraftKings. Tight ends are typically cheaper than wide receivers and can be used in the flex position on DraftKings to increase your upside in daily fantasy tournaments. Remember, you can win real cash prizes playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Head over there today and use the promo code PFW to receive a free entry into a weekly fantasy football contest.
All right, it's that time of the show where we answer the questions you sent in to AskPFW at Patriots.com. Let's start off with Trevor McIntosh, who says, do you think the Patriots might sign the recently released LaMichael James?
Well, I'm not really sure that that's the kind of running back the Patriots are lacking. I think he's another one of those third down type, smaller back, scat back, can do some things out of the backfield, has some versatility. A guy I like, he's got a lot of speed, but you already have Shane Vereen, who I think is really good in that role. You have a guy like James White, a rookie who was inactive in week one, also could do some of those things. I think there's a little redundancy there. Although I do like James as a player, I'd be intrigued to see why he fell out of favor in San Francisco. Not sure he fits with the Patriots.
Well, he has to be released.
Yeah, but why wasn't he playing is my point.
Well, right, okay.
Was it Tommy Kelly?
It's problems in 49ers. They're a team.
Losing the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt Lucia has the next question. He wants to know, well, the Patriots' offensive line was awful. I think they should have brought in James Devlin to help block. Brady had nothing but good things to say about him. Any idea why Josh McDaniels had another one of his huge brain farts and forgot about Devlin?
Well, I don't know if he forgot about him. I mean, I'm the biggest fan of James Devlin in the world, bigger than Tom Brady. But, A, Devlin played. He's a situational player. And they had extra tight ends on the field. They had Hooman. They had Gronk with Hooman. At times, they brought in Fleming. They were trying to protect. And I don't think James Devlin was the difference between Cameron Wake getting to Tom Brady and not getting to Tom Brady.
And the big thing was teaching Stephen Ridley to do it.
Right. You know. They had breakdowns on the interior offensive line. Their tackles were not good, and their backs didn't pass protect well. I find it hard to believe, as good as he is, James Devlin was going to cure all that.
All right. And staying on the offensive line subject, Russell Obremski wants to know, with Logan Mankins gone, do you think the Patriots should take a look at Richie Incognito?
Wow. No, I do not. I think that would be the exact wrong move. I think in Logan Mankins, you had a guy that Tom Brady referred to as the ultimate patriot, and you'd be bringing in the ultimate bully, to replace him, a guy who has not ever really been team-oriented, a guy who really ripped apart a locker room last year, especially in this climate right now with all the stuff that's going on around the league. I don't think it would send a very good message to replace a guy as popular and a guy who did everything the right way, like Mankins, with a guy like Incognito. No part of that at all.
Yeah, I agree. Ben Scholey writes in, was just wondering, what would you think about giving Josh Boyce, who's on the practice squad, the chance of playing more in the backfield as a runner? Nearly every time he gets the ball in his hand, he makes someone miss.
The only one he made miss was me, because I've yet to see all these big plays that Josh Boyce has made. I was very disappointed in Josh Boyce over the last 2 years. I don't think he makes the plays that he's supposed to. His reputation was that he could be a playmaker, that he could be a dangerous slot receiver. I haven't seen it. He's undersized. He'd get killed if you handed him the ball with regularity out of the backfield.
Absolutely.
I don't think he deserves a spot on the team, never mind reps out of the backfield.
And Paul was big on Boyce early.
He loves Boyce.
I like Boyce, but I like Boyce as a kick returner, and I don't think that's a big enough role to keep on the active roster.
All right, well, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to us at askpfw@patriots.com.